Black and ugly as ever, ever. I stay used and down to my socks. So no, it's them again. It's them guys from In My Humble Opinion. How y'all doing? Welcome to another In My Humble Opinion podcast. My name is Avery, like a very nice guy. You can find me at A_VRIII. And I have my brother with me, Just Devon, ladies and gentlemen. Look at him.
Yeah, I'm Just Devon.
You can find him.
Just Devon and DR Douglas. I don't know. It depends on the site, but you know.
Just Devon on Twitter.
Oh, there we go.
On Instagram. And you can find both of us at My Humble O and My Humble Opinion Podcast. That's who we are. Please listen to us all. Watch us on YouTube as well. We're on everything, YouTube, Stitcher, all of those things. It's a wonderful time to have you guys come and join us. How are you doing today, Devon?
I'm good. I don't know. I still don't know what Stitcher is, but, you know, we get a lot of views off of that.
So. We do get a lot of views off
of that. Shout out to whoever's listening to Stitcher. I'm literally picturing a guy like on a train with his Zune, and he's like, I love Stitcher. Sorry.
With the Zoom? Are Zooms internet compatible, dude?
I believe that they are. Zoom was the best music player, and I think we made the wrong turn. I feel like we obviously made the wrong turn when we, you know, put all our money in Apple. I'm only biased because I've had to turn in my MacBook 4 times in the last 6 months because it's just broken. But, you know, AppleCare. Yay.
Same Apple. Mine.
Yeah. It's great. So, you know, form over function. That's pretty much all the Apple
form
is.
Form over function. That's what it is.
Like a Tesla. So.
what is that? Apple had 50 Cent in that. And they had 50 Cent in the pimp video. They had everybody. They had so much product placement. Somebody would like, you know, wipe their face and the iPod would just fall down. They had all the product placement.
I think the first time I saw an iPod was the Mary J. Blige video. It was like a Mary J. Blige or a Gwen
Stefani holleration.
Yeah, I think she picked it up and she scrolled. I'm like, what the hell is that? It's like, that was it. Dog, the amount of stuff that we have bought because it just popped up between that and like, well, I mean, they eventually became Apple, but Beats by Dre, they were just in videos.
Yeah.
Product placement. Kids, listen, before you used to go to your local Circuit City or Warehouse Music and you bought headphones and they were disposable headphones. Like they didn't say disposable, but you didn't care. Like you bought them, they were $13. You wore them, they bended, they moved with you. The sound wasn't incredible, but it got the job done because we weren't asking for much for headphones. And if you broke, you just went right back up to the Circuit City.
Got you another $6 pair. You was a weird nigga if you had the $20 head.
Yeah, like, I was like, dog, what are you doing? Like, you're trying way too hard. Like, you're trying way too hard. And then Beats by Dre came out, and they were like, hey, would you like to pay $200 to $300 for headphones? And initially, we all laughed. We was like, what? As we took out our cheap headphones and we're like $300. But then I don't know what it was. Like LeBron was getting on a bus and he had the headphones on. And then like, you know, Rihanna had the headphones on. And then one day we all just said, yeah, this is the cost of headphones. I don't think the headphones were that much better. You know, that's just what it is. Now we pay, you know, hundreds of dollars for disposable headphones that fall out of your ear all the time and people are just cool with it, but it's because we have a ear. People that they fall out. How many times did you replace your AirPods?
Okay, that was for something different.
Because you were at the gym and they got water in them.
Obviously, for some reason, the main reason I got them for, you can't use it for. But you sweat and then...
But here's my thing. Here's my thing. The wired headphones lasted you.
They did. I use the when I work out, I use the wired Apple headphones because they're some of the greatest headphones. I use those. My AirPods is just to look cool at this point. Like if I'm out somewhere and I gotta like put them in, like, oh, we're gonna be here for a while, I gotta wait. Well, let me put my AirPods in because they always with me. Yesterday I was with you and I was like, we live fairly close. And I was like, I should just walk home. I mean, it'll be a good exercise. And I go, I don't know if my AirPods are charged. I was like, yo, but that's everything now. I sit there and I look at my Apple products and I'll be like, Yeah, y'all just sold us regular stuff and was like, now you got to charge it, which is an inconvenience. And I'm going to charge you $200 at the least for it. You want to watch, nigga? Charge it.
Like, they're just a massive marketing company at this point. Right. And since Steve Jobs died, and look, I got my critiques of Steve Jobs, but I feel like he was the only one up there with an idea. Because everybody there now is just like, hey, remember that laptop? The laptop that I own now, the 2020, they were like, we're going to get rid of all the USB ports. Why? Because we just want to. And I swear, then they turn around and they put it back. The EU was basically like, nah, man, we might sue y'all on that. And then this year they're like, oh, look. No touch bar, and the USB ports are back again.
The disrespect that comes with this computer.
Trash company.
When you get the computer, right, and they have
the
little box that has all the odds and ends, and then you open it up, and it's like, here's an adapter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, so you mean to tell, like, this is, it's USB with extra steps.
All right, look, when they started selling stuff with no plugs, like, they're like, well, everybody has a plug. I was like, dog, have you seen our plugs? Everybody doesn't have a plug. Like, part of the reason why I'm buying this new phone is to update this plug. This is a wired, this is a frayed out plug.
Yeah.
So, like, you're making me pay for things that you used to not, that was expected. And I blame it on the new generation. Y'all are not getting what y'all deserve. Like, rise up and fight against these people. I'm old. I'm done. When I get up, look, I sound like an old man. I sound like Homer Simpson's dad, like I'm Grandpa Simpson, like back in my day, they used to have plugs in your phone. I sound ridiculous, but if y'all jumped up and was like, dog, where the fuck's the plug?
This nigga's inciting a riot and I don't want to be a part of it. Young people, we have this young man that we've actually seen like kind of grow in this industry. We found him on his first effort. I hate to say effort. His first, release of music that got like kind of popping. You know what I'm saying? We was like, wow, who is this dude? Saw him at Wonky Power. And it was one of Amy's shows. And was kind of impressive. Plus he had like shorter hair. You could see the growth with his hair. he's always really been astute about what he wants out of life. It's one thing that I really enjoy about him is he's very playful, but this nigga's serious, okay? This man is very serious when it comes to his music. Marketing genius, knows how to put together whatever you need him to do. This man's had podcasts. He's been on stage with Bun B. He's been on stage with all types of levels. He's been on stage with himself, which is what the thing about this is. His stage performance is great. His music is great. With his album Pregnancy Pack in your phone right now, we have a guest, a reoccurring guest. You already know it. Dende.
Hello. That was a great introduction. It made me feel better than I am.
Man, you are great. You're on your way. Don't forget us when you Kanye level and you doing your thing. I'm not just saying that. No, you're going to get there. Don't forget us when you keep doing
the interview. I was about to say, because if you do forget us, we will hate. Like, we will hate hard. I will make
so many memes and edit videos.
We knew him when he was nobody. Like, yeah, we're going to hate for no reason.
We'll be on Vlad. You know what I'm saying?
Like, on Vlad. Like, hey, snitching. Snitching.
So you knew Dende? I was like, yeah, man. I knew Dende when he used to rob people.
Bring up old tweets.
You just gotta make up stuff.
What about Durag Dende?
Hey, Durag Dende is different. That's not me. That's a different guy. He's done, that has nothing to do with my life.
You are coming off of a show. I saw you, but I missed your part of the show. You and Lily and Tino are having a banner year. How'd that show go? And how was this year going for you so far?
It was cool. That was the New Year show.
Yeah.
At Axelrad. It was fun. I had a whole lot of fun doing that show, for sure.
Which I was gonna say, you rose from the dead like Lazarus. Like, I was like, oh, yeah. Dende's about to have a show. Then he's like, I have COVID. And then everybody was like, no. And then
so the thing about that is I feel like I probably had it weeks before I even got tested, because I didn't get, when I got tested and I tested positive, I wasn't sick at all. I just took a test because my friend told me that he tested positive. So I was like, well, I'm gonna take one because I have a show anyway. I gotta make sure I don't have COVID. And then I tested positive. I was like, oh, well, damn, I guess I can't do the show. But then my mom brought me another test and I took that one and it was negative. So I was like, let's go do the show.
Oh, shout out to your mom. That was the height of Omicron. I felt like right around Christmas is when we all realized, oh, Omicron is real, because we can't find tests or cold medicine anywhere. Like, it would just disappear. I was like, oh, okay.
Really? Dang, when you brought me that cold medicine, you had to look?
Oh, first off, I mean, well, we're on this show together. I didn't go buy cold medicine. That was just cold medicine from my sink. Like, I was like, dog, I'm going to try to go out here and find some, but I know it ain't there, so.
Hey, you a real one, my
G. You can just have my cold and flu medicine. Don't worry, I don't drink it from
that. I had Omicron, and I was like, people got to get these vaccines, because this shit was.
Yeah, I've been taking one every week. People have been thinking I've been traveling for like music and stuff. I'm not. I'm just going to different states to take another vaccine. I'm getting as many vaccines as possible. I encourage everyone that's listening right now to do the same thing I've been doing.
So
get your flight points.
That seems then, controversial, but I am going to say this. Like, I'm fully Moderna'd up, but I have been asking people like, hey, can we just go in and take the other vaccines? And they always just say no, but they never explain why. Like, I'm like, is there a danger to this? Because I'm like, I feel like this was like, remember at the very beginning of the pandemic where they were like, hey, y'all don't need to wear a mask just yet. And I was like, oh, I need to stock up on masks. Because I said, something is coming. And then when it happened, I had masks on deck. I was like, yo, I'm ready. All right, I get it, but I feel like that's the same thing they're telling us. Like, you don't need all of the vaccines, like the Infinity Stones. And I'm like, maybe I do.
Well, me being the scientist that I am, I can tell you right now that you need all of them, and that's why I'm taking them all. I've taken Pfizer, I've taken Moderna, I've taken Johnson & Johnson, I've taken the Goldman Sachs, taking the Chase Bank. I'm taking them all. They all have vaccines now, and I'm taking out every single one of them.
The Goldman Sachs, that's just, definitely.
I'm taking the Goldman Sachs.
That's a good one. There's no getting around it. There's no getting around that one. They definitely, Goldman Sachs definitely have a secure. I haven't seen any Goldman Sachs people panicking, and that's
true. We were on a podcast with two employees of Goldman Sachs, so yeah.
Yeah.
They look shook. They look scared at all.
They weren't scared at all. I've not.
Because they took the vaccine I took.
That's how this conspiracy theory starts. I've never seen a Goldman Sachs employee scared of anything. Like, it's like, oh, okay. We already knew that 8 months ago. But all right. Enjoy the aliens.
It's only a matter of time before Apple comes out with one either. So it is what it is. They'll come out like a year later. But then promote it with like it's all new. Like, this one cures COVID. This one, I'm like, come on, bro. What are you doing?
Now, where are, and Dende is calling us from the set of Country Living. Like, where are you at now?
I'm in a white man's home.
It's an album.
I'm in a, there's a, one of the members of the group that I'm in now, his name's Colin. And he lives in Jersey, and I came out here because we're doing like a 2-week lock-in of everybody that's just in the group, just working on stuff, being in the same house, and just making sure we get as much content as possible. And this is his house, so I'm in the white man's house. So obviously, you can see the plates on the wall.
The plates on the wall always do it. Okay, so we're gonna talk about that. Okay, so a group that you're in. First off, I really like the fact that you have no rules in what you're gonna do. You've got the group you got going with Cam Franklin. You've got the group that you have going now. You do R&B, you rap, you have a podcast, you do comedy. On your Wikipedia page, what do you call yourself? Like, what are you, Dende?
You know, that's who I am, Dende. That's what I am. I'm that guy. I don't know. I just do whatever I feel like. I feel like we... as people in general or as creatives, we always try to box ourselves into this is what we're going to be doing and this is who I am as a person. But I enjoy a lot of things. I don't just enjoy making music. I don't just enjoy rapping. I don't just enjoy singing. I enjoy making skits, and I enjoy showing up at college campuses and messing with people for like an hour. It's all fun to me. I like working with as many people as possible. I like to travel, so I'm just trying to do as much of it as possible. If the past 2.5 years has shown us anything, is that you need to do whatever you want to do. So I'm definitely doing it.
Now, how let's talk about some of the groups. I mean, let's start off with like Bayou City. How did that come together and so, just dropped and what was the feelings going into it?
That was at like pretty much beginning of pandemic. Because I've literally moved apartments twice since I recorded that song. So I think that was beginning of the pandemic. Cam basically hit me and was just like, hey, I'm doing this thing for the city of Houston. And I want to have you on this project. She sent me the song. And I mean, that was pretty much it. I had to send her a couple different versions because I kind of sucked. but I made it work.
Wait, did she say like, yo, redo this?
No, it was just, I was trying to do it how I thought that she wanted me to do it. And she wanted me to do it how I would do it. So that was the kind of disconnect that we had. I was like, oh, this is what she wants. But she was just like, no, just do what you would do. Like singing how you're going to sing it.
She pulled you doing runs and shit. You started off with runs
something like that.
She had to pull up a tie like Wyclef pulled a tie Dylan. Like, do you want to be on this song? So you've got that. But also, you've been traveling a lot back and forth between here and Jersey. And how do you make the connection to Jersey? Because I think that's interesting. You still manage to maintain, like, yo, I'm here in Houston. I'm doing music. But you were traveling. We're seeing that a lot more. So where does this Jersey connection come from?
So from the pandemic, I pivoted to the internet and I started making friends with artists pretty much all over the United States. But one of the artists that I really, really connected with was Chris Patrick. And he's on Dark Skin. He's on Phone Number. And he also has a group called CXR. It's him, Nasir, Noski. There's a lot of other people, but I joined CXR. So basically I'm a part of that group now. Most of them are all based in Jersey. So when we have to work on stuff, I pretty much just come to Jersey. I've been spending a lot more time with them now. Like all of them came to Houston a couple weeks ago to shoot a bunch of content with me. I've been getting a lot closer with not just the artists, but like the people that are, because they have a whole team of people.
Yeah.
So I've been getting a lot closer with all those people too. It's really cool. I like them a lot. Shout out to
you, sir. It looks like y'all are having fun. We've seen you take pictures of other prominent podcasts and things like that. I was like, yo, you are really moving with this team. What was it about them that you guys kind of made that connection with?
First of all, I just really liked watching how Chris in general moved on the internet and moved in his music career, first of all. He's one of my favorite artists, honestly. And at first I was just like looking up to him. That was just what it was. I was just like, I'm a fan. But then I started paying attention that it wasn't just him. It was like a whole team behind him. And they all move crazy. I kind of was just attracted to people that know what they're doing and make things happen as opposed to just saying they're going to do something. Because a lot of people say they're going to do stuff. But we get stuff done. And me, as they all know, like I'm used to doing everything by myself. So like when I see other people getting stuff done, I'm like, oh, okay, word. Well, if that's what we're doing, then I'm gonna move towards who's getting stuff done. And honestly, now we're just kind of all friends. It's a business at the end of the day, but we're all kind of just cooling. Like I've been having a lot of fun. I've been here since I think last Thursday. Yeah, I've been here since last Thursday. We've been working every day, but we've been having a lot of fun.
Are you planning on making a move out to Jersey?
Absolutely not. am I allowed to cuss? am I allowed to cuss on here? Sorry.
you can cuss on here.
Uh, Fuck, no. I got here. So I'm kind of pissed because I went to Nashville a couple weeks ago and I didn't get told until the day of that there was a snowstorm. So I got there and it was just literally a snowstorm. And I was like, oh, okay, that's just how we're moving, right? So I'm like, they're like, hey, you got to come to Jersey. I was like, all right, bro, we got the flights booked and stuff. I get here and it's just another snowstorm. I'm just like, bro, what is up with this cold? I'm not used to that. I'm from Houston. I don't care.
Did you even have like a coat? Cold. Did you have a coat?
Yeah, I have a coat.
Like, okay. It's just, so you were prepared for that type of cold?
A real I still wasn't prepared. I don't know. I just feel like it's not fair to be not told that it's going to be snowing. I feel like that's something you had to tell people. Like, I wouldn't move here just because of the snow. I think the traffic's stupid. I think 40 minutes to go 5 miles doesn't make sense.
Houston's
talking like us.
I'm about to say,
Houston's
good at that point. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, with the way
40 minutes to travel half the city and you're still inside of it.
Yeah, got somewhere.
At least you got somewhere. And there's many Starbucks you can stop at. 40 minutes to go, somewhere. 5 miles.
We do have a lot of Starbucks.
We have more Starbucks than anywhere.
Oh, we also have a number of Dende's favorite restaurant, Arby's.
There you go.
Yeah, we do have a lot of Arby's in Houston. Shout out to Arby's.
Shout out to Arby's.
The best fine dining restaurant in America at this point, to be honest.
Dende might be the most vocal supporter of Arby's that I've ever met or known. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. We trash Arby's all the time.
We do.
You shouldn't.
Is it right? Nah, because we haven't even really ate Arby's. It's just
consensus, though. That's the consensus of people that don't like Arby's. When I ask them, have you ever eaten Arby's? They're like, no. I'm like, well, how are you hating on it? We gotta stop. We gotta stop. Hated. Let me address the public, guys. Let me get real close. We have to stop this bandwagoning, all right, guys. Just because the internet told you something isn't good does not mean it's not good. Because I'm telling you, I eat it. It's good. All right. It's great every time. Never had a bad experience at Arby's. All right. I'm done with that. I'm done with my PSA.
We talked to Jack Freeman one time because we also were disparaging Arby's alongside him. And then we came to the realization that none of us had had Arby's
years.
I can't remember the last time I had Arby's. So we did say,
I remember the last time I had Arby's. I had mozzarella sticks and I was out.
Oh no. Here's the wild thing. He said, I had mozzarella sticks at Arby's. And I was like, Arby's got mozzarella sticks? That's how little I knew about the menu. So we did tell Jack, like, we're going to do a podcast where we record ourselves just eating a bunch of Arby's and just giving
do it with me.
We will definitely invite you out because you can be our guide to the Arby's menu. Because I was like, you know how like you go to a fast food restaurant and you're like behind somebody and I'm like, motherfucker, you know the menu. Like, why get an Egg McMuffin and get out of line? Yeah. But I feel like if I was at Arby's, the dude would be behind me saying the same thing because I was like, they have mozzarella. Like, I don't even know where to start. So I just know they got the meats. That's it. I'm not exactly sure what type of food they actually do, but I feel like they do everything.
They're great.
They haven't been anywhere like since the late 80s, early 90s. Like, you've never heard of anything like 50 million Subways are shutting down. Arby's don't be in the news. Yeah. Arby's don't be staying out late in the club. Arby's ain't got 9 baby mamas. Arby's a good church going nigga.
Arby's are out here saving companies, to be honest with you.
They really are buying, and you're like, why did you buy these companies? Arby's people bought Jack in the Box.
That's it. Like, I low-key want Arby's to buy Quiznos and save them, because Quiznos was on a run, and then Subway was like,
Subway just said, let's get this.
Dog, we can put ovens in our restaurant.
put the Otis Spunkmeyer ovens in there.
That's where they got it. They was like, Otis Spunkmeyer got all these extra ovens left over. Man, we'll put one of those in every Subway and toast stuff. That's all y'all got.
And that's how Subway invented the hot garbage. Because that's all it is. Hot garbage. I'm like, dude.
There's nothing wrong with it. Now I got to step forward. There's nothing wrong with Subway, dog. It's good food. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Also,
all this Arby's talk, I kind of, I don't mess with Subway.
I might take a trip to Subway today and let y'all know how I feel, because I haven't eaten Subway in a very long time.
Subway's good.
Salad is dope.
Also, I'm going to take a shot at the media right now. All them reports about Subway's tuna having no tuna, people should have read that article. Like, the test for testing tuna, it can't test cooked tuna. So the guy was literally like, yeah, this test don't test the DNA of any tuna. Like, you could give us tuna from the sea and we could cook it and then test the DNA and it's not going to pop up. And that's the test they
said. That's disrespectful.
Subway don't have tuna.
You got to read,
bro. And I was like, y'all should
read. They could put anything up. They could be like, Dende is like from the fourth dimension of hell. And then you got to read and be like, nah, he's playing in a movie.
I'm telling you.
It's like, come on.
When Dende blows up, they are going to take clips from this because they're like, dog, you know, Devon from In My Humble Opinion said that Dende used to rob people. And then I'm going to be on Vlad.
That's fine with me.
I'll be like, yo, man, he robbed me one time. That's how we met. That's
just how I actually want this narrative because I admit it might give me some street credibility. I'm actually cool with it.
We all need it. From some Sugar Land to a Katie nigga, we kind of need some street.
Yeah, I need as much street credibility as possible. People still be trying to play me about being from Katie, and I'll be like, bro, I'm putting on for Houston. Stop it. Like, why are y'all doing this to me?
I thought Katie got a little more leeway than Sugar Land because Drake shouted them out. Like, Drake has mentioned Katie in a few songs, but he's never mentioned Sugar Land.
Another suburban dude.
But he's never mentioned. Drake has a great way of, like, when Drake does a tough song, it's unbelievable, but it's still believable. Like, Worst Behavior, I'm like, dog, Drake might fight somebody.
What was it? Knife Talk.
Do it.
When we watched, we were at the concert, and Travis Scott and him was dancing around a Knife Talk, we was like, look at these two suburban niggas talking about that. That's all I want.
They got a crowd of 100,000 other suburban people thinking on gay shit. I was like, dog, there are gang members outside that are like, we need to rob these guys. Like, that's all that matter.
Bringing it back to Dende robbing. So how long you been robbing niggas, Dende?
Never. I've actually never robbed anybody a day in my life. I've been stealing hearts though.
There you go.
Segway. I was gonna try to segue into stealing hearts. So Dende, which we have told people, Dende can sing. We're like, yo, Dende can rap, and Dende can also sing. I think the great thing about it is Dende raps as equally well as he sings. Like, he can put out an actual R&B album, and he did. Mm-hmm. What was the thoughts behind putting out Pregnancy Pack? Why'd you call it Pregnancy Pack? For the obvious reason, but tell us about it.
Well, originally it was going to be called Here's Some R&B, Leave Me Alone. and then it was going to be called Let's Fuck on Your Mom's Living Room Floor While She's Out Getting Groceries. But I was told that's a bad name. I still stand by that name being amazing.
That's a great name. I think that's a great name.
That would have been a crazy.
People would have abbreviated it and just put people would have been abbreviated it so hard. So yeah, I think that's a great name.
It'd have been a crazy one. but we settled on Pregnancy Pack because I think that's a funny name, but it's also pretty accurate to what the EP is because it's literally just all about sex, minus the very first song. Sheree is the only one that's like about love. Everything else is about sex. Honestly, it was just like I would like sing. I'll do covers where I would sing like somewhat in my songs and people kept going, well, you should put out an R&B project, put an R&B project. I was like, all right. So that's why I originally settled on Here's Some R&B, Leave Me Alone. Cause I was like, I don't want to just do R&B. But I mean, I do like R&B and I do like making it. I just don't want to, like I said earlier, I don't like being put into like the box of what I'm supposed to be doing. But I made that project just because like, it's, I don't know. I like R&B. I like R&B a lot, so I decided to make that.
And it's starting to get. You put out two albums this year. You got Pregnancy Pack, and you got. Oh wait, what did you call them? Projects, offerings. What would you say?
Offerings. I like offerings. That's crazy.
You put out two offerings this year. There was a Happy Man. There was Pregnancy Pack. I do like your work.
For Happy Man was
because a Happy Man came out on vinyl. I think it's number 6 because you numbered them. I don't know what number it is, but it was like 1 of 100, and I was like, yo, this is fantastic. You put those out and people are starting to notice. We've got Pharrell, his team noticed. We've got Dreamville's team noticing. Mm. We've got The Roots noticing. What is that like to start? First of all, like when this happens, like you get up, you look at your phone, and you're like, what? What's your normal response to this now?
So it's usually the CXR people that know, because I don't see that stuff. Like, so they'll send it to me. Like Noah, my friend Noah Nawabi, he's like head of operations for CXR. He, for the Pharrell one, he like just sent it in a group chat. He was like, look at this shit. I was like, what is this? And I clicked it and it said Pharrell. And I was like, yo, what? And then he was like, yeah, they put it in the podcast too. Like, they played your song in the podcast. So it's like, yo, this is crazy. And then we just kind of posted it. And that's another thing I love about them is we capitalize on every single moment. So like, after we did it, we posted it. There was a bunch of other people that got on that playlist, but they didn't do it the way we did, like posting and stuff, and it got a lot of traction. And then the podcast like team actually followed me, and they like keep up with everything I post. I'm gonna try to turn that into me going on that podcast, because I eventually want to work with Pharrell. But yeah, it's crazy when I see like people that I've looked up to, like musically and just as people in general, like recognizing what me and my other people that I'm making music with are doing. Because it's like, one part of me is like, about time. But the other part of me is just like, it's really humbling, because it's like, dang, like these people actually like what I'm doing. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. Tell us about, and I guess the other thing too, because it's like you're moving with CRX as a team, but you've always kind of had
CXR. Gotcha. I don't want them to get mad at me.
But you're moving with them as a team, because it's like, even here, I'm like, when we would meet you, we were introduced to other people that you would work with, like Lily and Tino. And it's like when and I see all of you, like when one of you posts, everybody posts. And it's like, if one person gets an accolade, everybody posts everybody's accolade. Tell us about that experience of working with a team and why it's so important in this industry.
I feel like at a certain point, it becomes too much just to do by yourself. You kind of have to do things by yourself for a while, which I did, but at a certain point, it just becomes like, I wouldn't say impossible, because there's people that still do the things that they need to be doing without the help that I guess I have at this point. But it takes a lot of stress off my back. I still have to do a lot of the work that I'm supposed to be doing myself. But like, it does help having people to run things by. Like, I can be like, hey, should I post this way? Or what should I put as a caption for this, as opposed to me just posting something dumb? Like, because I'm a really good person of ideas. Like, I have an idea, but I don't usually execute it in the best way. So having somebody to bounce ideas off of and being like, hey, that is a good idea, but you should do it like this, it helps a whole lot getting stuff done. Mm-hmm. And then also, it does help having more than one person being able to like share or like reach out to other people for you. It's just a lot of different things that make it a lot easier on the artist, for sure.
That's great. How have you felt like the response has been to one, first to A Happy Man, and then leading up to Pregnancy Pack at the end of the year?
I think for Pregnancy Pack, I think it's going really good. We have a lot of content left to put out. Honestly, we already shot, so just look forward to that. It could get better. A Happy Man, I think it got pretty decent like response when it came out. I still don't think it has the love it deserves, because I do think it was one of the best projects that came out last year, and I'll stand by that.
Oh, but right. It was. The
good thing about a back catalog is, once I get a lot more notoriety, people are going to go back and be like, oh, where have you been doing this for a minute? Like, so it's going to eventually get the love I think it actually deserves, because I've never given up on A Happy Man. That's my heart.
Where'd you come up with that cover, though? That cover was fire. That's one of those like, yeah, really good, put on a t-shirt, like classic covers. Like, where did you come up with that idea?
So I kind of wanted to first of all, yellow just seems like a happy color to me, because it's just like bright as hell and it catches your eye.
And the smiley face.
I wanted to simulate like a happy occasion. So I had like balloons and confetti. And it was like a birthday balloon. And I put a happy man on it, but on my face, if you zoom in, it's like, there's a smile, but it's like a cutout of another picture of me smiling and it's over my face. Like the only part of me that is smiling is my mouth, but you can see in my face that I'm not smiling at all. So basically it's just kind of showing like, yeah, I have this smile on my face, but like, I'm not that happy at all times. Yeah. I mean, a happy man doesn't mean that I'm always happy 100%.
So where how did you get influenced to do that album? Because I mean, I feel like it is a perception that because you have fun and you're always like happy, but then like from kind of, I mean, I don't know you the greatest, but from just paying attention to how you get things done, I was like, you've got to be in there sometimes spazzing. Like you've got to be on some Kanye shit. Cause your stuff is, it sounds really good. So you got to get people to like understand your vision.
Honestly, the inspiration really was just like, I don't know. I kind of just wanted to portray that. I just wanted to put that out there that people that do seem overtly happy sometimes are the saddest people on the inside on the cool. So that's really where that inspiration came from. And then when I had the idea for that cover, I went to Jenny O. Shout out to Jenny in Houston. She's a photographer that shot that picture. And then I had a graphic designer. I don't know if he actually lives in Houston, but his name's Squirrely. Shout out him, edit that picture, and he made it look exactly how I wanted it to. So I really appreciate that. Shout out both of y'all. But I don't be spazzing. Like, I'm not an angry person, but I do get really, really sad. Like, there's points that I'll just be like, I'm not about to talk to nobody. I'm not about to do anything today. I'm just about to lay down. So I kind of wanted to like show that, because it's just like, yeah, the internet gets the best of you. Like, the internet gets the best of me. Like, y'all are going to see the best of me, because I'm not about to post me crying. That's weird. So like, so I put it in the songs. Like, that's where you can hear the worst, because I'm not about to put it on the internet. That's weird.
Well, I think it comes across, because it definitely comes across in the music. And I mean, your personality, like you will tweet out like, hey, I don't feel the best, or something like that, because you have a very upbeat personality. But like, even a happy man talks about, the opening song talks about you releasing Dark Matter, and at the same time, your grandfather passing away. You know what I mean? It's like you talk about dealing with real things that are going on in life as you're trying to get your music career going. And I think it's something people relate to, because they're like, I'll be trying to get stuff going on in my life and other stuff is going on, and it is one of those things, like the majority of us do not pick up the phone and record ourselves crying to let the world know. And, you know, and for you people that do that, it's weird. I'm just letting y'all know we all think it's weird. We're always like, were you crying already? And then you were like, wait, let me get my phone. Or did you feel the tears coming? And you were like, let me get my phone out. You know, when I cry, I just, you know, lay in bed, like just relax. But you know, okay. I say all that to say, like, how you strike a balance, and do you feel like one of the saddest people? Like, is this happiness a cover for like a sad feeling all the time?
I wouldn't say it's a cover for a sad feeling. I do think that I use jokes and comedy to kind of like hide from reality of things sometimes. But I wouldn't say it's a cover for sad, because I am happy. Like, I'm happy a lot. It's just there's things in life that you can't really control. The one thing I can control is the product that I make, which is music. So, and my kind of my mood. I guess I can't really control my mood all the time, because the things that are real that just happen in life, but. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a cover for being sad all the time, because I'm not sad all the time.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not just fucking, I'm not sad right now. I'm not crying inside right now. I'm talking to y'all. I'm having fun in this conversation.
Living life, picking up cars, you know what I'm saying? You living life.
Oh yeah, did you pick up a car? That was for Chris video. Yeah. We had to pick up a Porsche, and I made a video and I was like, we pushing P.
Oh my god. Hey, I'm sorry. Is your mother calling you? Talking to my brother here. Oh my, hold just 1 second.
Yeah, she just called.
Yes, mom.
Wow.
Are you busy or something?
I'm in the middle of recording a podcast with your son and Dende.
I'm so sorry. Okay, dude. I'm on my way to Amazon. Don't worry about grandma. I'll pick her up.
Yeah, just okay. That could have been a text, but I love you.
I'm driving. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, be safe.
Oh, I guess I'm sorry, Larry, because I'm
driving. Wait, Dad is driving?
No, nigga.
Okay. You could have had Dad's in that text. I gotta finish this up because Dende is sitting here. All right, that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to do that, sir.
My dad is hilarious.
Thank you. That's where Thank we get you. It from. Bye.
Are you hey, stopped recording? That. You should have kept that in, bro.
Yeah, leave that in.
I should have kept recording. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's still. Oh shit, it's still there. All right, cool.
I didn't stop recording at all. I mean,
definitely.
And this is another thing to people: if your call gets rejected twice, they're probably doing something. So calling
it's not about you.
Line or calling another number, like, you know. Also, notice how my mom was like, oh, okay, and then still proceeded to finish her thought. That's parents for you. Oh, you're recording a podcast? Cool.
Let me tell you.
So anyway, don't worry about picking up grandma. I was like, all right, I wasn't, but okay. Okay, that's cool. So back, you know what? Since you know our mom called us, how is the family, and how do you know they perceive all this happening, all this going on? You're coming out of Katy. I know you were raised in a good household. They were like, grow up, be a doctor, a lawyer, or something like that. You're like, I'm gonna do music, and they're like, I don't know. And now the music's taking off.
Yeah,
what's going on?
They're definitely coming around a lot more to this lifestyle that I have chosen. Because it's finally working. I feel like it was harder to get my mom on board because I know she always believed in me, but it was harder to get it because she's like a realist, but she also owns businesses. So it's just like getting her to think of music as a business as opposed to just a hobby was the thing, because she knows it takes years to build a business, but it was like trying to rush me to build a music. It was just like, it's the same thing. Like, I'm building a business. Maybe it seems like I'm just having fun, but this is a business at the end of the day. So just kind of getting her to realize that this is a business at the end of the day. And then it takes a long time to actually get what you're trying to get. Because if I was building, like for instance, she does healthcare. If I was building that kind of business, it would definitely take me a long time. And it took her a long time.
Yeah.
My dad has kind of always been like in support of it. But he was always the one that was just like, you need to go to school too. But I mean, they're definitely both coming around a lot more to it now, because I'm getting booked for stuff and I'm traveling, and people that are like, oh, you know who this person is, like knows my music. So it's just like, okay, maybe he's doing something. Maybe he knows what he's doing.
When was like, the first time that somebody like recognized you or you know, you didn't realize it? Or when was the first time that happened to you that you were like, yo, I'm on a good path?
Oh, did somebody recognize me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, what, like an artist or like
artist, a person? It could be person, it could be whatever. Where you're like, yo, it's starting to work, people. Look at this.
That's a hard question.
I actually know the answer to this one.
Go ahead and answer it, Devon.
I'm gonna tell you, it was when I went up to him at that first concert that he was having at Axelrod, there was a girl that was next to me.
Oh, yeah.
Was like, and I remember I was like, hey, man, like, you want to come on the podcast? He was like, and he's wrapping up chords. Mm. And the girl was like, can I get a picture with you? And the look on your face, you were like, what? like a what? She's like, a picture. Like, I like your stuff. And then when I was talking to you after, you were like, yeah, I don't, this don't happen. So I thought it was cool, because I was like, okay, that was just funny. Like, I think you took it so well. But yeah, like, she was literally just standing there waiting while I was talking about
this. Yeah, she really did wait.
She waited
the whole time. This is when we were recording when the podcast wasn't out. So I had to.
I remember. This was short hair then.
Hey, I record a podcast, but it's not out and you can't listen to it. But you need to meet us at this place off of Harwin. And thankfully, people showed up.
And we had, in my opinion, my favorite podcast that we've ever done. That was the first one we did with Dende. Because I forgot, I was with George Young the other day. I was having adult beverage. I was high. And George goes, "What's your favorite podcast?" When I'm high, I'm lethargic. I was like, bro, I can't think right now. George, it was Dende. It was the first Dende. It was hilarious. That's when we were like, at first when it started, Dende was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then by the end of it, we're like, I want Kieran to sit on my face. I was like, what?
I don't have a filter. They actually, CXR actually wants me to, one of the people, Miz, was like, you need to get media training. And I was like, fuck y'all, I'm not getting media training. No. I'm going to say whatever I want to. Y'all just got to clean it up. I don't care.
That's what keeps me awesome. Here.
This is how you got here. You're like, I got here without the media training. I'm going to keep
speaking of saying whatever you want, your call-in show. What's your call-in where you, which you got your little chef's hat on, your bonnet? Oh.
He said chef's hat. So basically I put out the EP of All About Sex. So I made a sex hotline. So people, if they have questions, they can just text the number. And I'll respond, and then I'll make a video responding to their question and answer it to the best of my abilities, because I am an expert in most things.
What's the wildest question?
But specifically sex. There was one about how this girl keeps encouraging her friend to get her male friend to get back with his girlfriend, but they have sex all the time. And this is the fifth time that she convinced him to get back with his girlfriend. But they had sex the day before. And she was, I don't know, it was just weird. And I was like, honestly, I just suggest you don't have sex with this person. I feel like this is the easy answer.
It sounds like, I don't know who this gentleman is, but that young lady is trying to get out of this. So every time she has sex with you, she's like, I don't want this to be serious. You should go back to your girlfriend.
Go back to your girlfriend, buddy.
Crazy. Right? Now, going back to what we were saying about your mom coming to grips with, because a lot of people don't recognize, and I like the way that you've gone about it. This is a business. It takes time to build stuff up. So you wouldn't expect a home healthcare company or any company you launch, you're like, oh, it's gonna take like 2 to 3 years to at least begin to see something. And it might take, more to see profit. When it comes to music or anything entertainment wise, they're like, well, it's been an hour, like, where the hits?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, it takes a level building up off of that. When did, like, what, and I feel like parents always link, like, what was the thing that your mom saw where she was like, that first thing where she's like, all right, I see this building as a business?
I think it was at the Dark Matter release, honestly.
Okay.
That was when she still was kind of like not feeling it, but when she saw all those people show up to come see me, she was like, oh, that's crazy. Because I mean, I guess because she saw that I was going out every single night, and I guess she thought I was just having fun, but I was going to open mics every night.
Yeah.
So when I had an event and like a bunch of people came, to the point that a lot of people couldn't even get in, she was just like, oh, they're all here to see him. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that was the moment when she was just like, okay, well, he is doing this, but still kind of, I don't know if this is going to work out. So,
well, and I would also tell people, like, when I've told people about you, I've been like, he does. I mean, I haven't said he treats it like a business, but even the aspect of, initially when we were talking and you were like, yeah, I would have album parties, not album release parties, like, come and listen to this album and tell me everything that's wrong with it.
Party.
So I can work on it. You know what I mean? And that's a big thing for an artist to do, because a lot of artists be like, nah, man, this is perfect.
This is good. This is good. I got it. I know what I'm doing. Nah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm listening to these songs. I literally, when I'm working on my music, when I'm working on a, like a body of work, I listen to it every day. And at some points, it's the only thing I'll listen to for like a month. So once you listen to something that long over and over again, your ears get fatigued and you might not hear something that other person will hear. So like, you kind of have to get other people to listen to stuff and tell you it, this isn't good, or this would sound better like this. Like, it's the kind of a pride thing to not ask for help. So
yeah,
I've been making sure I ask for help, especially with the music, because I mean, I am making the music for me, because it's me like telling my story or venting or just making something I want to hear. But it's, at the end of the day, it's not for me. Like, it's for the general listener. If the general listener doesn't like it, then what am I doing?
So what do we have on the horizon for this upcoming year for our general listeners?
So we have more content from Pregnancy Pack coming out. I got some features coming out with a bigger name on their songs. So y'all should probably see that maybe next month.
Okay.
We got South by Southwest. Shout out South by Southwest. I've been wanting to do South by Southwest since I was a child, and to be a featured artist on South by Southwest is literally a dream come true. It's crazy. I'm working on some more music right now. We'll see if I put something out this year. We'll see if I don't. I don't know. but we'll see.
You're working.
Let's talk about South by Southwest. I mean, did they reach out to you? You apply? Like, people a lot of times don't understand the process. And South by Southwest is so huge, where you've got official South by Southwest, off unofficial South by Southwest, some combination of the two. So what is it how'd that whole process start?
So I did apply, actually, when they, like the day that the applications opened, and I never got anything back from that. And then I saw people, like the first round of people announcing, announced that they were like official South by Southwest artists, and me being the uncouth and I don't give a fuck type of person I am, I tweeted out, damn, South by Southwest ain't had me again this year. That's wild. I'm still going to go see my friends, though. And then one of the people from South by Southwest messaged me and was like, we're going to invite you. that was just the first round of people. And I was like, oh, let me go delete the tweet then. My bad.
You were still polite, though. You didn't all be right. Like, I'm South by Southwest. You was just like, yo, they didn't. But I'm still see my friends, though. It was like, look at him. He's a happy man. Look at that.
I was like, nah, I deserve to be on it this year, bro. Like, nah.
You know what,
though? We're not playing this game.
Maybe your team is right about a little media training, because you tweeted about something like, oh, I mean, again?
It sped the, it sped the process up.
Sped it up.
So what does this entail? So you're going to be one of the featured artists. What comes along with that, and how are people going to be able to see it?
You can go to the South by Southwest website and just type in Dende, and you'll be able to see the shows that I'm going to be doing. There's also something else that I don't know if I'm allowed to say yet, so I'm not going to say.
Don't say it.
I don't want them to get mad at me.
Don't Tom Holland. like Tom Holland.
Yeah, it's some other.
Like, don't tell us.
Some other stuff. I'm gonna be put on a good amount of things. So if you don't get a chance to see me on one thing, you'll be able to see me on something else. Yeah, it's gonna be really cool. I'm really, really excited, because I've always wanted to do South by. So
that's fantastic. And we'll definitely be out there, because we found out we have people that live out there now that don't give us a place to stay. Shots out to Austin and people moving out there.
I was actually born in Austin. Shout out to Austin.
Yeah, I remember Austin, Texas. You moved
from Austin to Cape.
Austin, Texas. Yeah. When I was five.
You are a true suburban.
It's like Dobeezy in Cleveland. Dobeezy's like, I was born in Cleveland, but I'm not from Cleveland, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Wherever you are, like, if it's five or below, like seven or below, really, if you don't have the strong memories, you're not really from there. Like, I'll be like,
even yeah. It's not where you're from, it's where you're
like, at. I'm telling y'all, I was born in, you know, I was born in Compton, but I left when I was one. And I was like, yeah.
If you ain't clap cheeks in that city, it's not. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, yo, that's the standard?
Yo.
That's it.
If that's you ain't, the standard?
That is a crazy standard.
That's a wild standard. What if
I ain't clap cheeks in San Antonio?
What if you're Alaska, celibate?
I ain't clap no cheeks. When I got here to Texas?
You know that San Antonio is in Texas, right?
But you know what? Okay, well, let's figure it out, all right?
Sure is.
You know, all the places you named are in Texas.
I said Anchorage. You know what? Let's keep going with this interview.
No, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. All right. So we know we got a lot more stuff to hear from you. Everybody can still be streaming. I don't know why I just flipped the camera to you when I'm talking still. Everybody can be streaming Pregnancy Pack. Mm-hmm. Go back and listen to A Happy Man. It was one of Houston Press's album of the year. And no, I'm like, real talk. The albums that got put on there are albums that we actually like. Like, I was like, God, I like this album. And I'm with you. I felt like Pregnancy Pack is maybe more palatable because it's R&B and a lot of people. You know what? Let's speak on this because I like that you responded to it. Joe Budden put out, hey, man, the dudes are not doing R&B, to which you responded with your R&B video. But it was a number of gentlemen in the R&B range that are like, y'all don't listen at all.
You don't listen to R&B. These people that are saying that R&B, that male R&B is dead or isn't something that is good at this point, are not listening to male R&B, because you have artists like Lucky Day, you have Giveon, you have Daniel Caesar, you have a lot of people, bro. And it's just like, what are you talking about? You don't, and then those are just the big people, because there's a lot of smaller people like Tone Stith, like me, like who else we got? We got Reggie Becton. There's a lot of people that are great R&B artists and they're just not listening to them. So if you don't listen to them, that's your fault because you're not looking.
Why do you
just saying that just because you don't hear Tank putting out a song? So that's why you're saying
like, that's really what it comes down to. I feel like it's like we saw Tank and we stopped, like, oh well, if Tank and Trey Songz ain't doing it, I don't know what to tell you.
We're old artists now.
Yeah.
Especially Trey.
Wow. And then I saw one thing that was I really, really liked. It was R&B Tommy, the owner of dang, what is this? I'm gonna feel bad now because I ain't about to say it right. Whatever it is. What is it? Hold up. I don't remember now because I don't want to get mad at me.
I was about to say,
take R&B every Monday.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Our mom called during the middle of this, so don't worry.
And dang, hold on.
Because this is an R&B act or some
R&B radar. My bad. R&B radar.
Yeah,
I'm tripping. You can leave that in. But the dude that owns R&B Radar, he like posted about how they're saying that all men are singing about right now is heartbreak and sex and R&B. And then he was like, but y'all women are saying that all men are trash and that you don't believe in love anymore. So why do you want them to sing about love? Yeah. And I was like, I kind of agree with this statement. Yeah. I have sang about love. But it's just like, I kind of agree with this. If you're saying that love doesn't exist anymore, you don't trust men and they're all pieces of shit, which is kind of valid in some fronts. Why are you expecting us to be making love songs for you then? You think that we're pieces of shit and that we don't have love? So you like the toxic shit. They love Brent Faiyaz singing about, if you ain't with me, I want you sad. Man. Like literally, this nigga Brent Faiyaz said, if you...
and his shows be sold me, out.
Yeah.
When you're not with me, I want you crying. Yeah. That's crazy. That's what you're championing. And then on the other hand, you're saying that you don't hear anybody sing about love. And it's just like, well, you're not listening to that. Like, what do you want from us? I don't understand. That I can go true. About this all day.
What more do
you want? That is true. Do you feel like there's going to be a shift? Like, there's going to be a chance? Because you do have, well, on your, there is one song that opens up Pregnancy Pack about love. And then it moves straight to the sex, which... that's usually how sex works. But, like, real quick, I love you, and then, all right, let's get to it. But do you feel like there's going to be a shift now that you're seeing, like, even that Joe Budden statement where there was a lot of pushback on that. Like, a lot of people came forward, and they were like, do you listen to music? But there was also a lot of people that were like, yeah, nobody's singing anymore.
I think that we're going to see a big shift of people pushing forward the people that are actually doing it now, because I see people talk about R&B literally like every other day. I don't even see the same critiques about rap anymore at this point. Like, I literally see people talking shit about R&B every day. And it's just like, oh, okay. Well, then every time y'all talk shit, we just gonna start plugging our music. I'm gonna start plugging my friend's music. I'm like, all right, then
do it.
I do feel like we're about to see a shift though of people like singing. Cause I went and did, what's it called? See, I'm about to forget again. I did Singing in the Shower. with R&B only, another R&B platform. And the dude that owns that, Jabari, he was just like, he was had no parts of it. He was like in his office and he came out just to watch because he heard me singing. And he was like, oh, okay. We got he like tweeted out, oh, this man's a problem. So we're about to start seeing people like actually pushing like singers forward in the R&B space. I really do think so.
And there's definitely being land. Like I said, I mean, you just mentioned singing in the shower. And I didn't even know about that platform until I saw you. Because literally,
they just started. I'm the second episode.
Yeah. I just went and clicked on it because I was like, didn't they just sing it in the shower now? Like, I was like, that's kind of funny. Like, it worked, but that's where people sing. I feel like you got great acoustics in the shower. And that was it. But I'm like, it works. So I'm like, there's definitely emergence of highlighting R&B. Which means you're probably gonna start rapping again? Like, just I feel like you're like, oh, now that everybody wants to hear the songs, get these bars. Like, that's it.
Oh my God, you know my mind works. Yeah, I don't want to give them too much of what they want. That's not how life works. You don't get what you want, guys.
That's not how it works out. Well, look, we enjoy having you on. We are definitely going to connect with you when we get with Jack and we do this Arby's thing because it needs to happen. Like, Arby's, shots out to Arby's, I guess. We're going to find out whether we're really going to shout them out. And look, I promise you, when this happens, we will give you our live, in-person, clear-cut opinion. Like, you'll be able to see it on our faces whether we enjoy this food or not. I have a strong feeling I'm probably going to be eating my words, like literally. But, you know, we're going to see. Maybe Arby's will sponsor us.
They got the meats.
Hey,
they got the bread. They bought Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, they bought Dunkin' Donuts.
And that was a while ago.
That was a while back. They bought Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't know. Buffalo Wild Wings been going down lately. They just haven't given a shit. Buffalo Wild Wings. We ran out of wings.
Honestly, Wingstop is way better.
Wingstop is way better. It's always been the one, but because it's a chain and Rick Ross affiliation, people try to shit on Wingstop, and I'll be like, bro, just but that was eat. Even Thighstop. Like,
that's my point, was Buffalo Wild Wings, did it go down or did we just realize it was never really that great? It's like Hooters wings.
They had to run out of wings.
Now you're like,
nigga, you want a burger? And I was like, no. Like, I didn't come here for that. I didn't come here. Y'all got DirecTV. Who has DirecTV? Anyway, whatever.
I mean, but in their defense, Wingstop was basically like, hey, dog, we just going to make a shack and get these wings out. Like, you ain't got to sit. So that's it. Like, they're like, we saved on wait staff. We saved on, they're like, dog, we just gonna fry these wings and you come pick them up. Like,
and that ranch though, bruh.
I don't eat ranch.
You don't? I'm sure you don't. Wow. You're amazing. when you haven't eaten ranch in a long time, or was it for health reasons when you started like really getting into that workout or what?
Oh no, I don't eat ranch. It's just it's disgusting.
Look how fat this podcast is. Look at us and how surprised we were at the fact that he don't eat ranch. Like, we were what do you do? How do you even consume chicken if you don't eat ranch?
Oh my God, bro.
What do you dip your wings in?
Oh, I just get them how they come.
Okay.
That's how God intended them to be.
All right.
What's your flavor for wings? What's your flavor?
It depends. I do like spicy Korean barbecue. I like garlic parmesan, but that's usually dry. I'm probably about to get wings after this.
Don't forget to go to Subway too. Wings and Subway. That's always.
I'm not going to Subway. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not going to Subway.
Well. We appreciated having you on again. Oh wait, this is your part. Let me my brother, I was about to step off.
It was weird the way you just did it.
It was odd, my bad.
Yeah, we do appreciate having you back here. Thanks a lot for coming out or staying in, like we usually say. You know, it's always a good time to have you, Dende. Much success to everything that you're doing. Where can I find you at, my G?
Find me on my website, www.imdende.com, Instagram at IamDende, and Twitter at DendeIsMe. Jack, who's the dude that owns Twitter? I don't know. Jack Dorsey, something like that?
Yeah.
Hey, well, let me get my name. Dorsey, oh, well, Dorsey somebody, step down. Somebody in there.
Step down.
Somebody in there, give me my name back. I want IamDende on Twitter back.
He needs it back. And another thing, the yellow shirt for Happy Man put out some more of those. And yeah, buy his merch. it's dope. Buy the vinyl.
The merch, just, the vinyl.
Go back to me with the question mark. Buy yes. all of his music is good. Once again, this is In My Humble Opinion podcast.
Oh, wait, he was about to say something about it.
No, I was just gonna say I'm gonna have new merch soon, but keep going.
More
new
vinyls?
I didn't say that.
Okay. Well, once again, man, I am Avery like a very nice guy, A_VERIII. And then my brother, Jess Devine. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Jess Devine.
So many eyes.
Four. Sometimes I forget. I try to go for three.
Oh, but... four eyes for the glasses.
There you go. Boom, boom.
I get it.
And then, you could find him as Jess Devine on, I forget now. Jess Devine on Twitter.
Jess Devine on Twitter, DR Dougal on everything else.
There you go. And you can just find us both on My Humble O. In My Humble Opinion podcast on everything. In My Humble Opinion. We don't spell it stupidly. We spell it correctly.
Yeah, it is spelled correctly. Oh, also, read my articles. Quit reading the title and then sending me a DM and ask.
But don't send me a DM.
Don't do that. Or direct all your DMs towards my brother. He answered.
Man, that's not
very open to him. As a matter of fact,
we did nothing
for you rappers.
Be like, I want to thank you for what you and your brother did. My name ain't on that article. I don't write for the Houston Press. I do cybersecurity. I protect.
If you're a rapper and you're one of those guys that likes to send DMs when you read stuff at 3:35 in the morning, that's the guy you got to send it to.
I'll be up, though.
Send it directly to him with all your aggression, all of it. Like, let him know. Like, yo, you fucked up reading this article, dog. You didn't write this right. Tell him.
I'll be like, I can't read.
Tell him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let him know.
In My Humble Opinion podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Humbly yours. H-Town is too sweet. H-Town's too sweet. Goodbye. We're out of here. We're leaving. We're done.